This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange.
This pilot, though, who flew Barack Obama during his 2008 presidential campaign, says UFOs are real, and he's seen one firsthand.
An unidentified object seen over the sky above the Rosedale area.
The shot today video that's got all of Texas talking, probably the whole country, from iReporter, who shot this on a cell phone near Stephenville, Texas. The UFO, according to witnesses, and the witnesses include local police and other public figures.
When several dozen residents looked up and saw a UFO more than once.
Three very mysterious shiny lights over Breckenridge have police and residents puzzled.
Tonight, we have never before seen videotape of UFOs over Colorado.
If you noticed strange lights in the sky over the weekend, you aren't alone. KCTV5's Alan Schoaf went to Lee's Summit to get to the bottom of more than a dozen UFO sightings.
Never before seen footage of UFO sightings this year being shown at a conference in Pontefract.
Local police never definitively said who's to blame. Locals say it has to be something out of this world.
I'm taking a random picture, zoomed in, and there was a UFO.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
Another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unabashed, and the undecided.
Hey, you talk strange. What's up with your weird voice?
I have a weird voice. I have a very strange voice.
How come?
Because I'm probably the only guy on the radio that has no vocal cords.
You don't have any vocal cords?
I have no vocal cords.
How did that happen?
Well, during the Vietnam War, I got shot through the neck.
Ouch.
And that was one of those days. You know, it's
you know, I asked you that as a setup. I was setting you up.
You were setting me up.
For the listener that may be new to Strange Harbor or new to the area and they don't know you. And they
How
don't know
they
why.
Not know me?
Well, I know. That's true. You're everywhere.
I'm everywhere.
You wrote a book about your experience.
I did. It's called If Morning Never Comes by Bill Vandenbosch. And it talks about my near-death experience and my experience on the battlefield and getting blown up by a bomb and then shot five times. So it's a very exciting story, and I would hope that people get something positive from it, you know, a life lesson. And I've heard that people do get those life lessons from it.
And I can buy your book?
Sure, you can buy it on Amazon. Just search If Morning Never Comes or Bill Vandenbosch on Amazon, and you'll find it.
So our guest today is Elaine Davidson. She was at the UFO Paranormal Summit this last March.
Right.
She investigates or knows a lot of the ghost scene. You know, like the people on TV that you see, the ghost hunters
like
and whatnot.
Those ghost guys.
Yeah, she's tuned into the ghost circuit.
That's cool. We haven't had many ghost hunters.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think they're afraid of us.
I think they are.
They're not afraid of ghosts, but they're afraid of us.
That's right.
I don't know. I kind of think that we're, I don't want to say nurturing, but supportive of people that have had experiences or make kind of strange claims.
I think we're very supportive. I mean, that's why we're here doing the show, is because we certainly believe that everything is possible. And I know that there are a lot of other shows and podcasts that kind of tear people apart. I've been on them.
Yeah.
You know, and they try to debunk you, and you know, that's not what we're doing here. We're not trying to debunk anybody. I want to hear what everybody has to say.
And then ask questions.
And ask questions about it so that I understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's up to the listeners to decide whether they believe it or not.
Right.
It's not up to us to convince them.
We're not trying to convince anyone.
No. If we gotta sell it, then it probably isn't worth buying.
And you know, with my Sasquatch experiences, at first it was, I need to prove to everybody that they're real. Now, it's not like that. I don't care. just don't care if you believe what I saw, what I heard, what I experienced, the audio that I've played for you, the video I've provided for you, the things that I've collected. It just doesn't matter to me because I know in my heart, like you know in your heart, you died.
And I certainly believe in an afterlife.
Yeah.
So, we don't have to convince people or sell this to people, you know, or try to change their minds about something. All we have to do is present the information. People can make up their own minds.
Okay, let's get to our guest. Elaine Davidson, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Now, last time I saw you, or actually I think even talked to you, was at the UFO Paranormal Summit?
It was.
Did you have a good time?
I had a blast. I got to meet a whole bunch of people that I'd never met before.
Yeah.
And got to ponder some new theories that I'd never thought about.
Where does your passions lie in the whole world of the paranormal? Do you have one or many?
Mostly, for lack of a better word of explaining it, ghost hunting.
Ghost hunting.
But I moved out into the middle of nowhere here in Oregon, and I've been getting more and more interested into cryptids such as Sasquatch.
Nice. Have you had any activity where you're at?
This is exactly why I'm getting into.
Oh, so you must have, huh?
Yeah. I was in my bedroom. I've only lived in this house since May. And toward the end of June, I was doing some stuff in my bedroom, and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and this really bad smell. And I mean, it sounded like raw sewage, which could not have been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, Lord, what the heck? And then I'm hearing branches break, but deer and elk are everywhere around my home. So I'm like, okay, must be a deer. But I went into my bathroom, and I've got two windows in my bathroom. One goes to the west, one goes to the north. And I see something dark out of the one window, and I'm like, what the heck? And I look out my window, and this black hairy thing goes up the hill behind my house.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Literally, he had to have been like 8 feet from my bedroom window.
Wow.
I have no idea what it was, but now I'm wondering.
Now, was that the first activity or just the only activity so far?
That was the first. I had a gentleman across the street who, unfortunately, we had a diagnosed mental illness to start with, came across the street one day and says, I followed Bigfoot, and he was all cut up. And he was telling me he had followed Bigfoot through the forest and stuff behind my house the night before. And he had described, he went up the hill right this way and he did this. And it was like exact path.
Wow.
Before. So, you know, do I believe the guy? Yes. Is he mentally ill? Yes.
Doesn't mean a mentally ill person couldn't have seen a Sasquatch and decided to follow him, right?
I think the mental illness is what made him follow him.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he really did see Sasquatch. I'm not going to go around shouting off to everybody, yeah, he definitely did, because I don't know. But
right.
I have reasonable suspicion the guy was 100% correct. So there's been the smell I smelled that night. I have had a couple of times. There's a lot of animals and stuff
mm-hmm.
that you hear at night if you go outside. I went out to my front porch one night. It was dead silent. Nothing. And I mean, usually you can hear, if nothing else, coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can smell that smell. And every time it's dead silent outside, you can smell that smell. So I don't know if that's an indicator that there's something around or not. I stay very close to my house when I smell that smell.
Yeah.
Don't blame you. Some speculate, they theorize that they can trigger that. It's not like they smell that all the time. They smell that way, but it's almost like a defense mechanism or an intimidation tactic. All theories. That's exciting.
It woke me up that Sunday morning.
Wow. Maybe peeking in, he may have a crush on you, if it's a he. She may have a crush on you.
The blinds were closed. I'm pretty sure not.
Are you going to come visit us for the Sasquatch Summit next month? That would be really cool if you could come.
I am going to come for the day. Unfortunately, I have another engagement, so I can only come for the Saturday, but I will be there for Saturday.
At least we'll get to see you.
Yes.
So do you want to talk Sasquatch today, or do you want to talk ghosts?
I can talk either or. I know more about ghosts.
Okay. We don't know a lot about ghosts, and we've really kind of lacked getting credible people. I want to say you're, I think, about the most credible guest we've had in the ghost category, so we're very grateful for you taking the time to talk with us.
Well, the honest thing about ghost hunters and paranormal people is, what sets us different from the people that are out looking for Sasquatch, they can at least agree they're all looking for a hairy being of some sort, which may be an alien, maybe of this earth, who knows. Mm-hmm. But they can agree they're looking for a hairy ape-like creature. Paranormal investigators that are ghost hunters can't even agree on that.
Really?
Everything, I mean, even with Sasquatch, everything's fairy. But at least they have some concrete evidence, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing. We have different approaches, and every piece of equipment we have works and doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Same time. So we're all out there shooting blanks hoping we get something. And, you know, some people are very diehard, you know, we believe in psychic mediums. Some teams don't. There's no rhyme or reason to the ghost hunting world at this point. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. No, there's no rhyme or reason. I've been on two teams. The team I'm currently on has been together since, well, we formed in 2009, didn't really start doing anything until 2010. We've changed over the years on things and our thinking, because it was like, oh, well, this is our theory this time, and it doesn't work, and maybe our theory's wrong, and then we go back and revisit it and change it up, which I don't like using the term scientific, but, you know, scientists do change their minds and reshoot a different way.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. But unlike the Sasquatchers, they can run tests on the stuff they find. If they find a hair sample, they can run a test. We don't have any tests. We have equipment that doesn't work. We have a bazillion theories, but we don't know.
What are some of the mainstream, most common theories about ghosts, spirits, the paranormal?
Well, one of the theories is we're all crazy. Possibility.
Yeah.
Second theory is these are entities trapped between worlds. Some people believe that they're interdimensional aliens.
Hmm.
Some people believe that we're on this quantum string, and somehow we've managed to circle, and we're looping around, and we're our own ghosts.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. I'm probably pretty good at scaring myself 10 years later. So there's no set definition. I've heard a lot of credible people speak, and each time I'm going, wow, okay.
When you have a sighting, what constitutes a sighting for a ghost?
Quite often there isn't truly a sighting. Somebody thinks they have a ghost because of something that's going on.
Okay.
And my experience with my team, and my team is different than some teams, we go in and assuming there is no ghost. We go in using the Kepner-Traigle method, which is a problem-solving method, going, something's going on, but what is it? And then we start, okay, what could it be? We check the electricity in the house. There was one case we had. It was in a rural area. The guy's like, and the ghost walks down the hallway several times a day, and it's really loud, and sometimes he's walking like he's angry, and we're there, and we're doing, because we're looking at it through, okay, it's not a ghost, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of eye set. And one of our people was looking under the house, and he had a flashlight, and we're all in the house. And all of a sudden, you hear something walking down the hallway. At least that's what it sounds like, and it really did sound like it was walking down the hallway. And the guy had recorded this a couple of times. Yeah, definitely. And so one of the people gets on the walkie-talkie, and she's like, oh, you're missing it, Eric. This guy, he's walking down the hallway. He says, yeah, I'll send you a video. He's walking down the hallway, all right. We're all like, okay. Eric found something. It was a 5-pound Norwal rat.
Oh, my goodness.
And the guy had a pipe that went directly down the center of his hallway. So that what was happening is the rat would be going from one end of the house to the other down this pipe, and his back was hitting underneath the floorboards. The rat went down the pipe, so did the ghost.
Yeah, you guys cleared that up for him.
Yeah, so my team's idea is we're going out to help people figure out what it is. Nine times out of ten, we can find an answer. We don't assume there's a ghost. Doesn't set well with people that want to have a ghost.
Yeah.
That's my team's philosophy is we're there to figure out what it is first. It's when we can't figure out what it is that we start to really go to that it could be a ghost.
Well, that's a good method to use.
Well, it works for our team, but we get the fun out a lot going, well, you're just because you can explain something doesn't mean there's a ghost. Yeah, there could be a ghost dancing around us and we don't see it.
Right.
But the person's saying he's got a ghost because of XYZ. And if we're explaining XYZ, and that's the only reason why this person thinks there's a ghost, we're going to go with there's probably a ghost.
Do you have any other cases that you could share that there was an explanation like that?
How about a squirrel in the attic?
That'll do it.
We had this house, and we were investigating it. I've got several good ones I could give you, actually, now that I think about it quickly. This house we were doing, there was no actual signs of anything up in the attic. But the person was like, yeah, the ghost is walking around in the attic, blah, 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 blah. And we went up there. We investigated during the day, during the night, couldn't figure it out. Set up a game cam and a video that was playing, you know, 24/7. The lady's like, well, yeah, you guys better come back here because, you know, we were letting it run. And she goes, it was really active last night. The ghost was going everywhere last night. It was really driving us crazy. So we're watching the video, and a squirrel comes out. He actually has, like, four great big huge walnut trees. He's got a nut in his hand, and he's putting the nut in front of him, hitting the floor, scooching forward, and kind of carrying his nuts to his location, because they were big, where he was hiding them in the wall. And her ghost was actually a squirrel. And as he kind of did his little thing, hopping across the floor, she had audio. It sounded like a person walking and shuffling.
Yeah.
But it was a squirrel. I think our scariest case that we were able to explain was one of our first cases. I got it on the news. We went into a home, and it was a cottage. It was actually a maid's cottage to a house. Young girl was renting it out, and her dog would bark at the closet. She would totally freak out at the closet. And it didn't have the world's best latch on it, so occasionally it would open in the middle of the night. And the girl called us in. The landlord she was renting from lived in front of us. Not a big deal. We go in, and we're doing our investigation and all this, and we had a younger girl on our team at the time, and she puts her hand on the wall. And her dad was on the team as well. She's like, Dad, really loud. And we're like, what just happened? Because, you know, she's pretty, you know, even though she was a teenage girl, she was more mature than most and pretty even-keeled. And so we go running in the room because we're all freaked out because she just never yelled like that. And she says, this wall's hot. So we had an infrared thing, and we're like, going, okay, well, it's 70 degrees outside, and that wall is 104. Why is the wall 104? We walk around to the other side, and there's an electrical outlet. Well, we go tell the landlord that we're really concerned because around that electrical outlet's really hot. And, of course, being a landlord, he just decides to rip open the wall. Unfortunately, when the air hit the, you know, because it had been in there, it had been controlled, as soon as air got to it, it just burst into flames. But one of the guys on our team had gone out to his car realizing that that guy was about to open up the wall, grabbed a fire extinguisher. So it was put out really fast. But, the ghost wasn't a ghost. It was actually a bad lock and a shorting electric socket.
Oh, wow.
Thankfully, the dog really was on it.
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, listen to your dog's face, because he was smelling it.
Warning him.
Yeah, he was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, so, there's something not right here.
The room on the other side, he wasn't allowed in. It was actually barricaded with child gate. He couldn't get into it.
Oh.
So that was the only place he could get access to it.
Yeah. Wow. What about instances that one time out of 10 where you can't explain it? Any reports that you want to share?
I can. Can't give you the exact addresses or anything, but I can talk in generalities.
Right.
There was a home. It was out in Estacada, Oregon. And we were called in, and, they had some pretty good claims. And they couldn't put their finger on into anything. It was more of impressions, and the kids would, their little kids would say things, and it was like, okay, that's interesting. And her little kids would talk to ghosts. Okay. And they described these people in terms of century-type clothing. They actually showed, her mom was going through a picture book one time at the library, and the lady goes, that looks like the lady that comes and sees me. And, you know, this child's like three. And the mom was getting worried, not that she felt threatened, but she was like, is my house possibly haunted? And so we started doing research on the house. And the kids, you know, and at one point she picked up a picture of somebody in town that the girl was like, yeah, I've seen her. I know who she is. She comes and talks to me. And she was from a fairly famous family in Oregon City. And the mom was like, yeah, right. Well, we started doing the research on the house. And this is one of the instances. My team uses psychics, but we use them differently than most teams. We don't have a psychic do a walk through the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I can explain that in a minute. But we found the history of the house. The house had actually been a one-bedroom hunting cabin and a summer vacation home for a prominent family in Oregon City. And when we were doing the investigation, we really didn't find much. But the psychics, we had three psychics. One came back, and we, at the time, we hadn't figured out the home started as a one-bedroom hunting cabin. One of the psychics comes back and goes, I don't want to scare you, but I see blood everywhere.
Wow.
And I go, okay. So we're like, oh, did somebody get murdered there? Another, because we use three psychics anytime we use one. Another one comes back and goes, I don't know anything about that house, except I see a lot of blood on the kitchen table. Okay, so then we're like going, we're waiting for the third one to chime in, because it was like, okay, is somebody being dismembered in this house?
Mm-hmm.
The third one comes back with, I don't get it. And I said, what don't you get? She says, they're carrying a deer through the front door.
Mm.
And then we, as we were doing the research, we found out that it was this famous family's hunting cabin. The little girl, when she picked out that photo, it was of the daughter of that family. There is no way that child could have known that. So do we think that house is haunted? Well, the little girl saying she's talking to somebody, there's no way she could know.
Yeah. Wow.
We're going to go with it's likely haunted. We can't prove it's haunted.
Yeah.
There's reasonable suspicion. Mom wasn't sure what to do at that point. And I said, well, if they're not bugging the kids and they're not bugging you, why do you need to do anything? She's like, I never thought about it that way.
We're talking with paranormal researcher Elaine Davidson. More coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and Johnny and Billy here, along with our guest, Elaine Davidson, who is a paranormal researcher, ghosts, spirits, hauntings, and the like. Yeah, Elaine, I would totally want to know if my house is haunted, much like the people that contact you in your group.
Well, according to the children, which would be the only source of are they there, really, they would come and go and just come and visit and leave. Kids were perfectly happy with them.
That's cool.
So, we had another case where, and the cases involved children really get to me. We haven't had any bad ones, thankfully. But there's a lot of people that believe children are more open to ghosts because they haven't been taught that they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty good theory. There was a house near Tangent, Oregon, where we were called in. And what had happened, according to the family, is this girl had her imaginary friends. There were three of them. They had names. One day she says, I don't want to play. She was sitting with her family on the couch, and she says, I don't want to play. Leave me alone. It's time for you to go home. And the mom was like, okay, she's telling her imaginary friends to go home, whatever. The girl has her hands on her lap. The mom swears a big hunk of hair gets lifted up over her head and yanked. The
wow.
mom and the dad saw this happen.
Wow.
And the little girl, I guess, spun around and started freaking out, saying, I'm never going to play with you again. I hate you. Just like you would with any child. You know, nobody likes getting their hair pulled. So we get called in, and of course, we find nothing to prove the story initially. And I go, okay, we don't necessarily like to involve the kids too much. I'm not finding any evidence, but can I at least sit and talk with your daughter? So I got on the floor. She's like 4 or 5 years old. Her and I are playing with the dolls. I'm asking her about her imaginary friends, and she gives me their names. And I go, do they live here? She goes, well, sort of. What do you mean, sort of?
Mm-hmm.
She says, they live over there, and she's pointing to this barn. And I go, so they live in the barn? She goes, yeah. I says, they live in a barn? She says, they tell me their house is really pretty, and it's got this and that, and staircases. But the barn doesn't, so they're crazy. Hey. So we take all this information and we start doing some heavy research on the property. Come to find out, in the late 1800s, the house was built on the property. It burnt down in the 1930s. During the time that house had been there, three children died in a flu epidemic. Same names as the imaginary friends. A barn was built on where the house was.
Wow.
We find all this out and we talk to the mom, and the mom says, I want you to tell my daughter. And I'm like, you want me to tell your daughter her imaginary friends are dead? Really? And she says, well, I'll tell them, but I want you here with me. And I even, there was a cemetery probably about 3 miles from the house. I had even gone up and taken pictures of their grave. I mean, so her mom tells her this whole story. Girl goes, oh, she runs outside. And I'm like, well, is this going okay? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know the girl that well. She comes in with flowers and she says, Mommy, we need to go put these on our grave.
Aww.
They'd like that. So I get in the car with the family and we go up to the cemetery and we go over to the grave and the little girl puts flowers on their grave.
How sweet.
I'm not sure that place, how would that girl know?
Right.
We have no evidence to prove that place is haunted.
I don't know.
Way too much for a little kid.
Yeah. Kind of like the reincarnation kids, you know, that are three and they're rattling off all this stuff that they shouldn't know but do.
I'm just fascinated by this talk because I've always believed that, you know, there's lots of spirits around. I've never personally seen what I would call a ghost, but I'm very in tune with other spirits. And they visit me almost every day. So, you know, this is fascinating to me.
Have you had much correspondence with them since this, or?
Actually, that little girl was on one of my first investigations as a paranormal investigator. That little girl is now 22, and her and I talk quite frequently.
Does she still have any kind of interactions with her ghost family?
With her ghost family, she actually did it up until about the time she was 18 on a regular basis. And I says, okay, what changed? And she says, I just got busy in my own life. It's not that they're not there. It's just, you know, those friends you just don't hang out with anymore.
Right, right.
And I went, okay. never thought of it that way, but yeah. We'll go with that.
Get older and start worrying about paying bills.
Right. She says, after I started college, I just didn't have time to focus on them. I'm like going, I never thought of that. But okay.
I should have asked you this from the get-go, but what got you interested into ghosts and the paranormal?
I grew up in a haunted house. I grew up in a house that, we didn't know the facts about the house until about 10 years ago. But the home I grew up in was built by my great-great-great-uncle back in the 1800s. And during the time he lived in the house, his wife and children all passed away. Again, from probably the same flu epidemic that killed the children at the house that I was just talking about. I was out of bed at night, and every night, somebody would check me in. My mom used to laugh that I would check myself in bed. I assure you, five-year-olds do not check themselves in bed.
Right.
I was getting tucked into bed every night and a kiss on the forehead. It was not my mother.
Wow.
That happened literally until the day we moved out of that house. And it got to be the biggest joke in the family because my mom says, well, you must be doing it in your sleep, honey. Like, Mom, I am not. And I remember getting woke up one night, and I was probably about 9 or 10, basically being scolded because my room was such a mess and that it was unchristian-like for my room to be a mess. And I was like going, okay. That's not my mom. I cleaned my room the next day. My mom's still like, okay, I've never seen your room that clean. So that's what got me into it.
My
ghostly great-great aunt is what I tell people.
Are there different classifications of ghosts?
There are. There is different types of hauntings. I wouldn't necessarily say ghosts, I guess. There are active ghosts, which you can possibly communicate with, possibly not, but the theory is you can communicate with them.
Yeah.
They understand what's going on around them. Then there's the ghosts that are just basically like an old tape playing over and over and over again, where the same thing is going on at 2 o'clock every Wednesday, the door slams shut, that type of thing. So those are called residual hauntings. Some people believe it's energy from the past replaying itself. There are people that believe in demons and demonic, and they believe that, you know, that's a different type of haunting. I can say that in over 20 years of doing investigations, I have not ran into a demon. I've had lots of clients that call and freak out and tell me they have demons.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually refer them to clergy. I'm looking for ghosts, not demons. They're not the same.
How about malicious ghosts?
Well, okay. You got to think, if ghosts in theory are dead people, we got good and bad people in the world. We've got comedians in the world that are going to play jokes.
Uh-huh.
So it could be a mix of all of that.
So when you're investigating some kind of paranormal experience, you've talked about equipment that you use. Can you tell us a little bit more about that equipment?
Well, it depends on what's going on. So each investigation is going to be unique based on the claims, what we're looking for. One of the things we usually always use is an EMF detector, which is an electric magnetic field detector. That's going to measure the amount of electricity. Now, the World Health Organization and the CDC and all those say 0.05 milligauss is safe. You start hanging out of power lines and that can go up exponentially. Anything over 0.05 can really mess with your head. It can cause hallucinations. It can cause the feeling of being watched. It can go on and on and on and on. That's one of the... It's a fear cage type of situation, for lack of a better word, that we try to eliminate first. We had a situation where we were called in, and the family was with Zend, and they said, you know, this is all going on, and our daughter's going crazy, and all this, and we were checking out the house. The daughter, of course, being a teenager, spent a lot of time in the bathroom. Well, when you turn on the light, it was miswired. And so instead of 0.05, it was 29.0. like 30.
Oh, wow.
So it was like over 100 times more than what she should have been exposed to. And so it was causing her hallucinations. And in a teenage mind, I don't even want to know what those hallucinations were.
Yeah.
Ironically, they fixed the electrical, and within a month, their daughter was back to being normal.
Wow.
It all started when they moved into that home.
Hmm.
And once the electric was fixed, she was good again. But they were really worried, you know, because some of the things she was popping off with was going to get Children's Services involved.
Yeah.
Because some of the stuff is just a little out there. And they were afraid she was doing drugs. They had her drug tested. And it was turning into a big family scene. So EMF detectors are our first and foremost, and we do use those on every investigation. We often use a DVR system, which with night vision cameras. They're not our go-tos, to be honest. Our favorite pieces of equipment are very simply an audio recorder and a compass. And a compass works like an EMF detector. It doesn't measure the numbers, but if there's a ghost around, the compass will start moving. So that it doesn't get affected by radio waves or anything like that, like some things do. So I like to go simple. What else do we use? Thermometers, because cold spots, hot spots are supposedly associated with ghosts. Audio recorders, and we use very basic audio recorders. You can get, you know, these HD 4000s, and I think there's 6000s now and 8000s, which are really good recorders. Do not get me wrong, but they'll pick up things you cannot hear with your regular ears that may be of this world, but half a mile away. So sometimes the equipment works too good. So
yeah.
When I started and I said the equipment works and doesn't work, how do your recorders work? You can't hear it with your own ears, and yeah, it gets a little crazy sometimes. Our team does what they call live listening. So the $30 Walmart recorders, if you put headphones in, you can listen through the recorder as people are talking and doing whatever. We have actually had voices interact with us. The two people without the headsets could not hear what was being said, but the person with the headset could. It did record onto the recorder. We were having what they call an EVP session, and we were asking very direct questions about the home. The people in the house felt threatened. One of the things we asked was, do you want these people to go away? We couldn't hear it, but the person that was doing the live listening, and it did record, it said, make a move. Okay. Nobody said that. That's interesting.
Wow.
That was a very interesting case.
Yeah, I bet.
That is actually the only place we will not return.
Why is that? Because it's so freaky?
We did it twice. Both times it was very not pleasant. Not that we do this for pleasantries, but it was very edgy. People felt weird.
Threatening? Be like a threatening place?
Yes.
Wow.
There was a gentleman that killed his wife and then committed suicide. We found that out while we were doing the investigation. The family didn't know it. Both times we were there, and then the landlord decided, because this was a rental, that she didn't want paranormal teams there anymore. And it was like, okay. And she started kicking people out that had been in the house because she didn't want anybody to know the house was haunted. So we said, okay, we're not going back there. The landlord's, you know, kind of not wanting us there. Legally, the tenant can have us there, but, you know, we don't want to get the tenant in trouble.
Yeah.
And secondly, we're pretty sure it's haunted, and he don't want us there either, so about every other time that there's a new tenant, we get a phone call, and I know that address by heart. And it's like, I live it, and it's like, yeah. Go with your gut. Well, are you going to come and investigate? No.
Yeah.
Been there. Well, can you give me details? No, but go with your gut.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, we do confidentiality waivers, so that's why I'm not getting super specific on some of this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the person's like, I want to know, and it's like, yeah, go with your gut.
What about the ghost TV shows? You know, in the Sasquatch world, most of them, while entertaining, they're not really all that, I don't want to say credible, but they're for entertainment purposes. Is it that way with the ghost TV shows, the Ghost Hunters stuff?
It is exactly the same. As much as I love some of those people, and I know some of those people on the TV shows personally, the word entertainment is a big factor. If you were to follow around a regular paranormal team, you would never watch 30 minutes of a regular paranormal team doing their thing. It is incredibly boring.
Yeah.
I respect what they're trying to do, and they have promoted the field somewhat, but they don't necessarily do that great of research. I won't say the name of the group, but there was a show that aired not too long ago, and I'm sitting there going, their history is correct, but they're off by 8 miles. And I was just like going, but that was the reasons why this place was haunted. But they forgot that, you know, there was a whole other reasons why that place could be haunted.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the place that they were investigating was haunted, but the reasons what they came up with for it being haunted.
I gotcha.
And so, you know, and you drive in from out of town, you don't know, you're relying on the word of somebody else. So I do get it.
Do you ever run into the people that want attention, you know, so I'm going to make up some kind of there's a ghost in my on my property thing, or is that not that common?
At least 3 times a week.
Ah, okay.
My team is contacted. this guy was going on, and it was like, sir, we can't help you. I mean, because you get to where you kind of, it's like, and you go, well, it could be this, or it could be, well, no, and then there's like 10 new claims that come in because, you know, that wasn't good enough for you. And it wasn't that it wasn't good enough, it was just there was really plausible explanation.
Right, like a rat on your pipes.
Right, and this particular person that actually was on the phone last night was going on and on about a hidden underground bunker in this house and all this other stuff. And it was put in when in the 1800s and all this other stuff when the house was built. The gentleman didn't realize that the house he was calling at was my aunt's house. It had been in my family up until 1972. There was no hidden underground under that. And I'm like going, okay, just don't tell him. Everything and it's, the stuff that he was coming up with, it was just getting wilder and wilder. And I finally said, sir, I can't help you. I hung up the phone, and you know, I have a cell phone, so he knew it was on a cell phone. So he sends me this nice, huge text going, at the end of it, goes, I thought you'd want the media attention.
Right.
No, not really. The teams that do want the media attention, they tend to be less credible. I say that. I have lots of friends that are on TV all the time, but they're not going out and seeking that attention.
Right.
It's like, the media comes to them, not they go to the media.
So what is like the primary goal of a pure, honest ghost hunter? Are they looking for something in particular, you know, the truth?
Well, to be honest, ghost hunting is not that greatly organized. A lot of them are trying to document what they find, so maybe the next generation can figure out the puzzle. We're looking for the truth. My group is looking to figure out what is. And if we can't figure out what is, then we, you know, take all that documentation and go, okay, we have no clue what this is, meaning, but this is what we got. The young girl with the, that named the people that lived on the property. How does she know that?
Right.
Makes me think she was talking to a ghost.
Right, yeah.
I could be wrong, but indicators are she's probably been talking to a ghost. Some of the homes we've been in, some of the things we can't explain. Literally, you know, I saw them on TV back in the day, and I was like, yes, sure, that's true. Not. This lady would scrub her floor. It would be clean, and a dark spot would appear. Where that dark spot appeared was where a person actually had died and hadn't been found for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
He had died of natural causes, however. And she said, you know, where his body was, this keeps happening. We could not find any reason for that dark spot to keep coming back. And that included actually sending in samples to get tested for different things.
Wow.
So we tried to figure out what that was. Can't figure it out. So we keep that documentation in hopes that maybe the next group, it's a piece of a puzzle that we don't understand.
You know, David Pilates had done a presentation at a MUFON event some years back, and he kind of compared the UFO research field with the Sasquatch research, whereas the comparisons in how everybody was, like, against everybody else. Like, there are not too many friendly groups amongst both respective research fields. Is it like that in ghost research?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
In our field, unfortunately, there's a lot of wannabe celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is true of all the paranormal. I'm just making a wild assumption here. The paranormal seems to draw people that are, unfortunately, mentally ill. You know, that's kind of been proven, unfortunately. Some of the people in the mentally... that causes narcissism and people to divide and conquer and type stuff. In the ghost field, there are groups that get along really well. They understand, they respect the fact we're all dealing in theory. But then there's other groups that are like, we're professional ghost hunters.
Gotcha.
There's no such thing as a professional ghost hunter.
Just like in Sasquatch. And UFO, right?
Sure.
Right. I mean, I totally respect all those guys, but none of us are experts.
Yeah.
Until we have some people that are very knowledgeable, some people that have got some great theory, but that's all it is.
Well, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk ghosts with us today.
Yes, it's been very informative.
Okay, thank you.
How far does your group go if we have a legitimate concern to maybe get you to visit or to just even talk to you, correspond on the interwebs about ghosts and paranormal activity?
We have gone all over Oregon and all over Washington. Some of our best ghost hunts have actually been in Washington.
How could we reach out to you, like a listener that might want to just chat?
They can go to our website. If you type in WOOPI, Whoopi,
mm-hmm.
My team is Western Oregon Organization of Paranormal Investigators. You can get to us through our website, and we also have a Facebook page.
And that was paranormal researcher Elaine Davidson.
That was excellent. You know, I was just so fascinated by what she was saying that I really didn't... I really just wanted to listen to her more.
Same here.
You know, I
Same
didn't
here.
Want to talk. But, yeah, she seems to have a lot of information about ghosts and ghost hunting and the paranormal. And we haven't had too many people that have been willing to step out and talk about that.
Right.
I don't know if there's some stigma that goes beyond the UFO Sasquatch kind of thing with the ghosts, but it seems that people are not as willing to speak about it.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like to contact us, you can yell at Bill for his New Age Tahui, or listen to back episodes, all that good junk, or if you have a suggestion for a guest or topic or whatever, log on to strangeharbor.net.
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.